Okay, did you hear me?
Very good.
Tonight we are up to Mitzvah Chaf Zayin, the 27th Mitzvah. And it is somewhat related to the 26th Mitzvah. Okay. This Mitzvah is called Shelo La'asot Pesel. We're not allowed to make idols. Okay. Now, it's obvious that the Sefer HaChinuch, along with the Rambam, count this as a separate mitzvah from what we did last week, which was, you shall have no other gods besides me. Okay? This stands as somewhat problematic in light of a Gemara in Maseches Makos, that tells us what appears to be something of a universal halachic opinion. I mean, very few things are absolutely monolithic, where every Jew must agree with this opinion. Perhaps the only thing in halacha that fits that is you're never allowed to worship Avodah Zarah no matter what. But everything, you know, things are on the table where, you know, we have a sort of different opinions, you know. On every page of Talmud, you have a lot of different opinions. But I never saw any opinion, certainly not in Chazal, that there are more than 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Right? I've often mentioned to you that if you look at all of the lists of the 613 mitzvahs, you're going to find about 800 mitzvahs. But what each list has in common is that there are 613 mitzvahs. Okay? Torah says, do not eat lechem koli v'charmel adetzem ayom hazeh until you bring the minchas omer. To the Rambam, that's three mitzvahs. Don't eat lechem before the omer. Don't eat koli before the omer. Don't eat karmel before the omer. To the Rambam, that's one mitzvah. Don't eat lechem koli v'charmel until you bring the omer. You get the picture, right? This can go on in many, many different cases in the Torah. Right? The question is, how do we know that there are 613 mitzvahs? Why aren't there 713 mitzvahs? Right? What makes something be counted as a mitzvah? Right? When the Torah says that we're supposed to remember what happened to Korach so that no one behaves like Korach, is that a mitzvah? You shouldn't be contentious, right? Torah says, remember what I did to Miriam when you left Egypt, right? Is that a mitzvah? Is that a daily mitzvah? Is it a weekly mitzvah? How often? Does anybody remember doing that? Does everybody here remember what God did to Miriam?
She got leprosy.
Yeah, but do you remind yourself of that every day or at intervals? Like Amalek, or like Yetzias Mitzrayim, or like Shabbos.
Only when speaking Lashon Hara, or hearing.
Yeah, that's the Ramban. Ramban's Chiddush is that it's a daily mitzvah to remember what happened to Miriam, to remind us not to speak Lashon Hara. Right? Lashon Hara is the mitzvah. That's a separate mitzvah. It says, Lo tilech rachil b'mecha v'nichla bo Lashon Hara. And then we're supposed to remember what happened to Miriam because she spoke Lashon Hara, right? Anyway, I'm just saying is that what counts as a mitzvah, I'm giving a shiur on this and during Shavuos, what counts as a mitzvah is debatable, right? But what's not debatable is how many you're supposed to have in your list. Anybody want to disagree? Right? There are 613 mitzvahs. Everybody knows this.
But when Chazal made that statement, was it supposed to have any halachic ramifications, or they were just making?
I doesn't sound like it. It sounds just like there's a mitzvah for every part of the body,
right?
Every day of the year.
That's more agadic than it is halachic.
And yet, you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
And yet, all these lists are so makbid to stick with 613. And they have the rules of what counts as a mitzvah of the 613. We're not talking Torah laws. There are 613 Torah laws in Tefillin alone. I'm talking what gets counted as a separate mitzvah, right? So the limud in the Gemara is this pasuk. Ready? Torah tziva lanu Moshe. How does that teach us 613 mitzvahs? Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe commanded us to keep the Torah.
Where must be gematria.
Right. The gematria of Torah is 611. So Moshe gave us 611 mitzvahs. What are the two that God gave us?
The first two at Sinai.
The first two at Sinai. So what's the problem with that based on what we're starting with here, mitzvah 27?
Actually, there'd be three, wouldn't there?
There would be three.
This is, okay.
And I have a newsflash for you. There are two more. Right? Don't be confused by Cecil B. DeMille. This is not the Ten Commandments.
Right.
It's the Aseres HaDibros. Now, usually we don't translate that as the Ten Speeches or the Ten Sayings. Usually, if you're going to translate this into a good English word, probably the best word is Decalogue. Deca, the Ten. Decalogue, right? Nowhere is this referred to in the Torah as Aseres HaMitzvos, right?
Right.
Okay, and there's a good reason for that, because no one holds that there are 10 mitzvahs here. According to the Rambam, there are 14. All right? Four here, right? And when it comes to Shabbos, there are two mitzvahs. One to remember Shabbos and one to not do malacha on Shabbos. Okay? So there are 14 mitzvahs according to this. All right? Eight and then two for Shabbos and then four for this Dibra. So does anybody have a good answer for this? Howard seems to be the best answer. This is just a gadata. But everyone is so serious about following it. There's a very simple answer that's given in the Mefarshim. Is that all the B'nai Yisrael heard at Har Sinai was Lo Yelecha Elohim Achrim Al Panai. That's when God stopped talking.
What about Anochi?
Anochi they heard, that's one. Lo Yelecha Elohim Achrim Al Panai, two. And then Moshe continued. The problem with this solution, this is probably the most popular solution to this question, is that it seems that Moshe is only starting to speak in the third Dibra, because that's when he refers to God in third person.
Right.
Right? The whole pshat of why we say that God spoke the first two Dibros and that Moshe spoke the last eight is true. There are some narratives in the Torah, in Devarim as well as in Shmos, where B'nai Yisrael tell God, no, 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 this is too much for us. We can't handle this. No, no, no. So when was that? Oh, yeah, okay. It was right after the first two what? The first two mitzvahs, not the first two dibros. Okay? So we're right. Torah tziva lanu Moshe is that besides these two mitzvahs, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yetzeitzah Mitzrayim, and Lo Yelecha Elohim Achrim Al Panai. And now we're talking about going from the action of believing in another God to actually making something. Okay, let's go on. I want to read now inside the Minchas Chinuch with you, please. Camille, you just sent out the pages? Okay, great, thanks. All right, so the Rambam has, as is we often have seen this year, the Rambam has a pretty much a unique position that will become apparent immediately. And amazingly, it is shared by the Sefer HaChinuch. I say amazingly because it's the Minchas Chinuch says, I am amazed, I don't have any inkling as to where the Rambam got this. He said there must be a brisa or something that he had that we don't. Okay? Let's get in on it right away. It's a pretty singular type of lumdus that's going to take up most of this shir. When I say a singular type of lumdus, we're going to be dealing with one main issue. Okay, it's going to come up right away. Let's read it together, please. Okay? Got it? Everyone have it? Zemavua Barambam. Reish Mem means referring to the Rambam. Perek Gimel Mei Akum, Halacha Tes. The Laws of Avodah Zarah, Chapter 3, Halacha Tes. V'chein b'sefer ha-mitzvahs la-Rambam, Lav Beis. Also in his list of 613 mitzvahs, it's the second mitzvah. First, of course, being, I am the Lord your God. D'gam im yitzaveh la-asos, over b'lav hazeh d'harei garam asiyah. Here it is, he gets right to the chase. The Rambam's chiddush is, of course, we know that you violate the Torah if you make an idol. What's the chiddush that we didn't have from last week? If you make an idol, you have violated the Torah. Can you finish my sentence? Even
if you don't worship it?
If you don't worship it. Making the idol is already usur. Even if you're making it for someone else. A Gentile hired you to make him an idol, right? Now, from what we learned last week, we might say that doing that is even over on the Fnei Velositein Mechshol.
Right.
Right? Now, in truth be told, that making an idol without worshiping it is not does not get the death penalty. Right? Making an idol for someone else also doesn't. You'd be violating this mitzvah. Another one we'll see shortly in Parshas Kedoshim. And certainly it would appear to be Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol, which he discusses at the end. Okay, but here is the Rambam's other chiddush. Over belav hazeh dehare goram asiya. And I read again, degam im yitzaveh la'asos. In other words, if someone orders an idol from me and I make it, I am violating the Torah. The Rambam's chiddush is here, and tell me, it really sounds so antithetical. If you've learned the second parak in Maseches Kiddushin, if you learned Hashaleach in Maseches Gittin, it really defies all of our understandings of shlichus, especially since the Rambam is not specific. Let me explain. He says, "Degam im yitzaveh la'asos over belav hazeh." Even if you order an idol from someone else, but even before you take possession of it, you are violating the Torah. So, based on what you know about shlichus, what's wrong with this?
And shlichus dvar avera.
And shlichus dvar avera. If I tell you to jump in the lake, you're going to jump in the lake. So, if I tell you, here's $100, make me an idol. What should you say?
No thanks.
No thanks. I don't make idols.
Can I have 10,000 instead?
Okay. It depends. You know, everyone has a price. All right. So.
But what? Rabbi Schwartz, if they pay me 10,000, you could always get a non-Jew. You could contract a non-Jew so you don't do it yourself.
No, but they have an Easter also.
Do they?
Yes, we learned that already. Gentiles have a prohibition, one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach.
But what if they were already a professional, that was their profession, and they were already doing it, just me, because I told them to do it for somebody so I could make some money. Maybe that's not a prohibition anymore because they were already doing it for everybody else.
So that's an interesting question, whether or not these things are permitted if the statue you're making is not an object of adoration or worship. There are people who have statues or sculptures or things like that, and that's a different question, and that is not monolithic. Okay? Meaning that there are some poskim who allow it. Okay? So, he says that, Kimo Shekosav Harav HaMachaber, Gam Kain. He says that the Sefer HaChinuch writes the same thing. Want to read it with me in the top of the page? It says, Shalona set slomim shia'avdu. Well, there you go. Don't make statues that to be worshipped. Implies that it does not have the same strength of an avera to make a statue that's not going to be worshipped. Well, that's obvious. Vafilu lo avdam ha'ose osam. Even if the person making it is not worshipping it, ha'asiya levad asura laharchik hamichshol. Even making it is forbidden because someone's going to come to a michshol when you make this thing, right? Ve'ein hefresh. Here is where the Sefer HaChinuch agrees with the Rambam. Ve'ein hefresh bein shi'ase biyado o yitzaveh la'asos. There is no difference in this halacha whether you make it or whether you command someone else to make it. Shnemar, lo ta'aseh lecha pesel v'chol tmuna. V'hamitzaveh la'asosa hu goreim, hu ha'goreim ha'asiya. If you command someone else to make an idol, you are causing this to be done. You're causing this to be made. The causation is also an avera. Zehu da'as ha'Rambam zal. Okay? V'da'as ha'Rambam zal, she'ein hazhara b'kan ela shelo yaset slomim al da'as la'avdam. He says that the avera is in you not making an idol with the purpose of worshipping it. Okay? Right. Ramban also thinks that you shouldn't count this as a mitzvah here. He thinks this is the mitzvah later in Parshas Kedoshim. Okay. All right, so let's see what the Minchas Chinuch says. Come back to it says number one. He says, Over Balav Hazeh Dahare Garam Asiya. He violates this Avera because he caused the Pesel to exist. Moshe Kosav Rava Mechaber. V'tir'e midivrei Rambam de'im mitzaveh la'acher eino mitam shlichus. So here's the question. If I go into an idol store and I say, please make me an idol. So I am in violation. Me too, but I'm also in violation. Okay? Why? Didn't Howard just say about 5 minutes ago, Ein shliach l'dvar avera? There's no such thing as a shliach for an avera. Right? If I tell you, go and wear kilayim, right? That's not even lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is if I give you a garment that I say was checked to shatnez, and I know this shatnez in it. That's lifnei iver. Right? I may be, hashkafically sinful for being a mesit of sorts, you know, being someone who convinces someone else to do an avera. That's never a good thing. But the Minchas Chinuch is suggesting at first that this is mitam shlichus. Everyone understand what shlichus is? Okay. Mitam shlichus means that it's because you appointed a messenger to do something. Now, as you know, especially when it comes to like davening or things like that, there's something called shlucho shel adam kimoso. Right. Familiar with that rule? If I give someone a ring and I say, take this ring to this woman and tell her, hare at mikudeshes le ploni, the person who gave me the ring, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, and she accepts it, she's a married woman. She's married to me. You get it? That's called Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoso. It usually works in davening, right? Shomei Ke'one. You say Kiddush, I'm going to drink. Right? You say the Bracha, I'm Yotze. You read the Megillah, I'm Yotze. Right? What do we call someone who davens for the Amud?
Shliach.
shliach tzibur. He's a messenger of the community. Right? So he says, it can't be because of shlichus. Can you tell me just intuitively? You have to know a little from the Gemara, as I just mentioned. Why is it very wrong to say in the Rambam that if I tell someone to make me an idol, I'm in violation mitam shlichus, because I made someone a shliach to do me an avera? If that were the case, first of all, forget about ein shliach l'dvar avera, but you have to know what's written in the Rambam, is that the Rambam should have made that more clear. Rambam should say, b'med varam amurim, if the person that you told to make the idol is a worthwhile shliach. Tell me some people who are not worthwhile shlichim. Koton, Cheresh, Shota, Gentile. Right? There's no shlichus for Gentile. L'may nafkami, it's Xeris HaKosov. That's why I just made reference to the second parak in Kedushin. That's where all this comes out. If a Gentile separates challah from bread that's being baked, doesn't count. If a Gentile separates truma and tithes, doesn't count. All right? For mitzvahs, there is no shlichus. There is no agency for a Gentile. Tell me why not.
They don't always have a separate kiyuv or
yitzvah. Right. The same reason why women don't count in the minyan. Right? We discussed that last week. Women do count in which minyan, you remember?
Kiddush Hashem.
For Kiddush Hashem. Because there they are shayach. A Gentile is not commanded to tithe, so he can't tithe for me. Same reason why a katan can't tithe for me. A shota and a cheresh, they don't have das, they don't have intention. So now a shota and a cheresh have maaseh. What do I mean by that? If somehow a shota can be taught how to clean for Pesach, right, and get rid of the chametz, that works.
But even without supervision?
No, yeah, you have to make sure that he's doing it right. But it's what we call this in halacha a maaseh kof.
Right.
If you can train a monkey to take pieces of metal and to connect them around a rooftop so that someone who walks on the roof doesn't slip and fall off the roof, that's fine. If you can train a monkey, and I think I saw a little YouTube clip about this a few years ago, about a monkey washing dishes or something. It was like a clip about having a monkey clean for Pesach. So if you can train a monkey or a dog to sniff out and to take away the chametz, fun, right? You know what I'm saying? The mitzvah is to not have chametz, not that you have to make the effort to get rid of chametz. If you don't have chametz, you don't have to do it.
Right?
So, but in some things, it's actually the mitzvah, right? You can't, shechita is just such an example. If you train a monkey to do shechita, it doesn't count. All right? Okay, if you train a monkey to... and so I keep using monkey because that's the lashon of the Gemara. You know, the Jewish week used to love getting some rabbis into trouble. Someone once asked Rabbi Schechter if a woman can read the ksuv at a wedding. And he said, why not? It's a maaseh kof. So they wrote, Rabbi Schechter thinks women are monkeys. Maaseh kof means it doesn't need shlichus. The job just needs to get done. There's no religious imperative of reading a ksuv at a wedding at all. Right? Okay. So that's usually the terminology used in the Gemara. So the question here is, if the Rambam were correct, that simply ordering someone to make an idol violates the Torah, why wouldn't the Rambam, if it was mitam shlichus, if this was the halacha because of the prohibition of appointing someone, then this should be limited to a person who is worthy of shlichus. In other words, the Rambam should have made it clear that this doesn't apply to someone who doesn't have a din of shlichus, but that's not the case. If someone orders a 10-year-old boy to make an idol and he does it, you have violated the Torah. It's not because of shlichus. If it was because of shlichus, then this wouldn't work with someone who's not shayach to shlichus. All right, take a look. The tira midevei Rambam. I just got finished explaining that. What Howard said 15 minutes ago. Because we already know, we paskin, that there is no shliach for aveiros. You're going to tell him to jump in the lake? He's going to jump in? You're a big, big person. You know what not to do. The ode, here is this, the reason, the explanation I've been giving now. Or for that matter, right? Also, the Rambam, nor the Sefer Chinuch, did not differentiate between if the Jew ordered a bar shlichus to do it, or someone who's not a bar shlichus. Okay. The Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin derives this message of the parameters of shlichus from a number of psukim in the Torah. Right? Okay, from inheriting the land, which was done b'shlichus, Korban Pesach, which is done b'shlichus, tithing, atem, gam, atem, yimela, ayin sham. There's four different limudim in the Gemara. Okay, so he says, ki yadua b'shas, in gittin daf chav gimel amud beis, we know that the Gentile is not given to shlichus. So if the reason why the Rambam says that if you just order someone else to make an idol, you already violate the Torah, and it's because of tam shlichus, the Rambam should have been more specific about that. So we see from here that it's not because of shlichus; it's just gzeiras hakosuv. It's just the Torah's way of, because when you make order someone else to make an idol, you're goreim an idol. You're causing something that detracts from God in the world, and that's the avera. And that's why the Rambam didn't need to explain the difference between ordering an idol from a Gentile and ordering an idol from a Jew, or ordering an idol from a katan or a cherish or a shota, or ordering it from someone who is intelligent. Rakim ha'avera alav v'tzorech lavoi mosel yidei shliach mitam shlucho shaladim kemoso. He says that's why the Rambam doesn't talk about shlichus, because he wouldn't be chayev mitam shlichus, because in shlich l'dvar avera. Okay, the point is that if this was the kavan of the Rambam, he should have been more clear. Then comes the Sefer Achinuch, the Menchas Chinuch, to say he actually didn't have to. The Chinuch's Chiddush in number one, and I'm going to go to number two now, is that it is the command itself that violates the Torah. Forget about Shlichus. Just giving the Tzivui for someone to make you an idol is already entering the realm of you shall not have a God besides me. Okay? Now the Rambam, the Minchas Chinuch cites a Tosfos in Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph in Maseches Sanhedrin, and the Tosfos is asking a question on an Agadita, but it has an interesting ramification for us. The Agadita is that when God confronted those who violated his will in the Garden of Eden, the first thing he does is he confronts man. And he says, why are you afraid? And why do you feel that you're unclothed? Did you eat from the tree I told you not to? So what did man do? He blames it on the woman. So he asks the woman, why did you do this? And she said, anybody?
She blames it on the Nachash.
She blames it on the snake.
Snake.
What should follow, Chevra?
No shaliach.
Well, what should follow is God goes
to the God should yell at the snake.
You go yell at the snake and say, hey, snake, what's going on here? Why did you do this?
No, but they had independent judgment. I mean,
because then what could the snake say?
Well, they made their own decision. They weren't obligated to listen to me.
Divrei Harav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. Right? But they didn't have to listen to me. If I told them to go jump in the lake, they should jump in the lake. And I didn't make them a shliach. Right? You see where this is going? So what did God do instead? God didn't give the snake a chance to defend itself. God went right to the punishment. He went to Adam and said, what did you do? He went to Eve and said, what did you do? Each one blamed it on something else. But when it came to confronting the Mesit, Mazeh Mesit, the tempter, when it came time to confront the snake, God just went and said, because you did this, this and this and this will happen to you forever. You're gonna walk on your belly, etc. So the Gemara in Daf Chav Tes and Aleph in Maseches Sanhedrin says, from here we see that God does not give a Mesit a chance to defend himself, because in fact, the snake would have had a defense, which is, I said it 5 minutes ago, Divrei HaTalmid v'Divrei HaRav, Divrei Mishomim, which Divrei HaRav v'Divrei Talmid. The Rebbe says one thing, and the Talmud says another thing, and the students listen to the Talmud. So the Rebbe's going to go to the Talmud and say, why did you convince all those kids to do the wrong thing? And the kid's going to say, they shouldn't listen to me, they should listen to you.
Yeah, but even if, let's say Chav and Adam never listened to the snake, he still did something wrong.
That is the chiddush the chinuch is trying to say. That's what we're saying here. That the tzivui in itself. So this is the Tosfos that he quotes. I'm going to read it. You see it's inside. It's sort of getting close to where the black print of the Sefer HaChinuch ends. It's on the right side, before the two. It says, "V'sanhedrin chav tesemet aleph, damrinan minayin she'ein toan in lemesis." How do we know that we never give a chance for a tempter to explain himself? Minocha shakadmoni, from the first snake. My havele l'taon, what could he have said if God had spoken to him and gave him a chance to make an excuse the way Adam and Chava did? He would say, Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, v'chulei, Divrei Mishomim. God, why should they listen to me? Makshim HaTosfos, Divrei Maschil Divrei, Im Kain Kol Mesis Yitom Kain, V'yifater. Let every tempter say this and be potter. Right? Okay, God, you weren't fair. You didn't give the snake a chance to defend himself. But maybe other mesits will defend themselves with this. V'tirtzu d'hamesis nerag d'nitztave shelo yasis. Oh, so simple yet so profound. That's what Howard just said. Is that the mesis was commanded not to tempt. V'eino d'mele nochash shelo nitztave al zeh. Nochash was never given a mitzvah. Don't try to tempt man and woman. Right? But today, a mesis does not have this kind of answer. Okay? Because, again, as Howard just said, the violation is not mitam shlichus. You acted in my behalf. you did Navera, so it's as if though I did Navera. No, there's no such thing. Ein Shleichus Dvar Avera. And if it was Mitam Shleichus, the Rambam should have differentiated between Jew and Gentile, between Katon and Gadol, between Cheresh and Pekeach. Right? The issue is that the Tzivui itself is the Avera. Omnam, look at number two. Bemes Tam Rambam Lo Yudana Manole Dinze. I really don't know. I don't know where the Rambam got this. Dilma hu kechol alav in Shabbatorah, shehu lenochach. Shabbatzmo mitzuva al zeh, v'yidei acher hu mitam shlichus, sheribsa Torah. V'yichad lo shayach shlichus, eino chayav. And maybe it's all from the standpoint of shlichus. And when shlichus is not shayach, then he wouldn't be chayav. But the Rambam says he is chayav. Just an interesting tangent is that very often you find some mafarshim pointing out that if the thing is in binyan nifal is a passive tense in Hebrew. You can usually detect it when it is in the form of e o e, e o e, kol malacha lo te o se lochem. Right? Okay, Kol ben nechor lo yochal bo would be different if it said lo yeyochel bo. That's why Rashi said that it's talking about a apostate Jew, not a Gentile. Right? Because if it was a Gentile, it should be in binyan nifal. A Gentile shall not be fed the Korban Pesach. Then who's being addressed? The Jew. Torah addresses Jews, not Gentiles. Right? When the Torah says, Kol ben nechor lo yochal bo, that would be different than all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Where is the Torah address ben nechor? Right? Okay. So when it says a ben nechor should not eat the Korban Pesach, so Rashi cites the Mechilta, that it's talking about a Jew, shenisnaker ma'asav lifnei Hashem. Became estranged from God. Okay, so harav ha-machaber kosav da mitzvah la'asos hu ha-gorein. Oh, so he says it's mitam groma. Lo ta'asel l'cho pesel. You can't cause a pesel to be made in any way. However, shape and form, by making it yourself or by telling someone else to make it. You brought an idol into the world, you're chayev. Okay? Sheba'atzmo mitzuva al zeba ide acher hu mitam shlichu. I'm sorry, let's get back. This is who agorim. Niridato bidas harambam da Torah asra kan groma. Okay? Big chiddush. Now, grama means that you're not really causing this. It's like an intermediary cause. Okay, I kill someone by taking a gun and blowing his head off. I make a grama if I lock him in a room and he dies of the elements or something, or I tie him up someplace and the snake bites him. That's called a groma. The halacha appears most often in Hilchos Shabbos, right? According to many poskim, electricity is a groma. It's a groma of fire or binyan or something like that. Okay. Whenever we try to find a heter for something in Hilchos Shabbos, we try to first make sure that the thing that is being done, if we can do, is a groma. And then if it's a drabbanon and it's a psik resha, delo nichale, I think we can start to make all kinds of, you know.
Yeah, but psik resha is actually a rebuttal of the groma argument.
Yeah, because there it's when it has to happen.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
then it's as if
that, yeah.
inevitable situation. So
never resolve your action. You can't say it's a problem.
So we either say maybe it's not exactly psik resha, sure psik resha, or because the aruch paskin that the psik resha de lo nichole doesn't exactly have the, like he's becomes misasek. Excuse me, like the Gemara, it says when he squeezes the chalazon on Shabbos. And that's the classical psik resha. Isn't he killing that thing? No, he's misasek who waits on the tilas neshama. Well, you wouldn't say that though when you chop a chicken's head off. That's not misasek. That death is coming very clearly. Right? Okay, when you squeeze this mollusk to get the blue ink out, the blue trelis out, that is the Gemara calls a grama for its death. Okay. So your goreim, this asiya, you get all these words here? That's what it says. Lo ta'asel, l'chopesel. Don't make it exist in the world. Niradato b'das haramam da Torah asra kan grama. B'lechora kivin dekosav lo ta'ase adraba. Mashma grama shari. K'mavur b'shabas daf kufcha from the bays. Gabe gram mechika v'gram kibui. Right? Lo ta'asun ho gram shari. Right? So the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos derives that when it says lo ta'ase, that a goreim in Hilchos Shabbos is still mutter. This is where the word, the grama aspect of Shabbos kicks in. V'chein pasak Rambam gabe shemos ayin perek vav miyisodei haTorah. Okay? That you cause something, shemos, to be destroyed. Uperek beis mishabbos alachadal gabe kibui, that you cause something to be extinguished by putting the water there from before, ayin sham. Im kein menolei la harambam din zeh. Why you make a difference here? If grama is potter in Hilchos Shabbos, why does the Rambam say that to be goreim a statue to be made is usher in Hilchos Avodah Zarah? The gam aloshim shel grama lo matzinu b'divrei harambam lo kan v'lo b'sefer hamitzvos. Oh, it's a good raya. If this was also for the Rambam because of goreim, that you're causing a pesel to be in existence, the Rambam should have made that clear too. The gam aloshim shel grama lo matzinu b'divrei Rambam lo kan v'lo b'sefer hamitzvos. The gam ishayach grama al yidei ben das zeh tzorech iyun. Ayin b'choros gabe gram mum b'bchor ve'in kan mekom. Okay, fair enough. He said, certainly the Rambam must have seen this law that you're chayav for making a pesel, even if you command someone else to make it. The Rambam must have found it someplace, but we don't know what that is. Okay? But now the Minchas Chinuch ingeniously comes at it from a different direction. Maybe you're familiar with Maseches Temura. The beginning of Maseches Temura discusses some of the things that you're not allowed to do and would violate a negative precept, but that doesn't involve any action. Now you see why it's in Temura. Just switching the kedusha of one animal onto another is a violation of the Torah. It's called Meimir. Right? It's Tmura. If you say this Chatos is no longer holy, I'm transferring the holiness to another animal. The Torah says you haven't done anything. V'ha-yahu Tmura so yeh kodesh. Your original animal is holy and the new animal is holy and you violated the Torah. What did I do? I didn't do anything. I just thought of switching the Kedusha. That's enough of an Avera. Now, you can say there are a whole host of Averos that you can violate just by speaking, cursing parents, right? Blessing God, you know what I'm saying? Euphemistically, right? Swearing falsely. Sure, there are lots of, less testifying falsely. There are lots of averas we can do just without an action. But here, he asks this question. Surely commanding someone else to make an idol is ein b'maseh. It's a lav shein b'maseh. How could the Rambam say that he's violating the Torah? There's no maseh here. By commanding someone else to make it.
But he says that's the avera.
Yeah, that's
what he said above.
That's where it's going, yeah. The tirates kiven to acher o se maseh b'shlichuso havile maseh. Because you are causing a maseh. Even though what your part in this, just ordering this idol, right?
What if he orders it and the guy says, you know, nah, I'm not going to do it for you?
Just ordering it does not seem to be in violation of the Torah.
So it's only if the other person consents to
it? Yeah, he consents and starts doing it. Question is when is the aimless chira sell of a self? You know, when does the violation kick in? When he finishes it? When he gives the makah the patish? When he finishes it off? When is this violated? Right. So he says the kvar kosafti deze eino mitam shlichus. This is not because of the lohavi kemoso machmas ein shlichu dvar avera.
Right.
The gama filu im mitzavela nochri olachireish shote v'katon. Dilo shayach behu shlichus, gam kein chayav. That's a big chiddush. Because the Rambam wasn't machalik. He didn't differentiate between who he with who he's asking to meet to do this for him.
Right.
Rak hakavanah kiven da al yedei diburo is avid maseh. Just the dibur of ordering the pesel is enough to violate. I just meant finish saying that. V'chein le'inyan chasma b'kol. Huh. Have you heard of this avera? You know, you're not allowed to muzzle an animal when he is working. What if someone trains an animal that when he hears you whistle, he knows he's not allowed to eat? You can train an animal that way. But if you whistle and he eats, you beat him, and if he doesn't eat you, then you give him a big treat afterwards or something. Animals can be taught these things, right? So the question is, what happens if, while my animal is threshing, I engage in this kind of, you know, learned response, and I whistle, so the animal knows, I can't put my head down to eat. What think you here? Violation or not?
I would think it's still creating a muzzle.
Yes. Yes, it absolutely is. At least that's what the chinuch is saying here. He says that it's chosma b'kol. Ayin bav metziya de b'tzadik amadbeis. That if you cause the animal not to eat, not with a muzzle, the animal has an open mouth. But if you cause the animal not to eat with some other thing, that's called a maseh. All right? The ein kan mekom olaharich of hefan. V'chein kosav b'sefer mishnas chachamim.
But in that case, if you're saying kol is not a maseh, is a maseh, then why isn't that true in all those other cases that we brought? We said this.
Because he just says it right here. Efshar delav davo dezara chamor. Okay. Someone who makes a neder in the name of an Avodah Zarah gets Malkus. Malkus, that Avodah Zarah has, you know, I'm sure you know, has many chumers. And I think I have a good raya for this, although the chinuch doesn't mention this, but I think this is a richtige raya, what I'm about to tell you. Are you familiar with a rule that we're not punished for our thoughts? Like if I plan a bank robbery,
right,
But in the end, I decide not to rob the bank. I'm not punished for planning the bank robbery, right? It's true that Hiruri Avera Koshin Me Avera, the Daf Yomi says a few days ago. But the plan to do an Avera doesn't get punished unless the Avera is violated. Do you remember how Avodah Zarah is different in that realm? The Gemara says that we're chayav even for thinking of worshiping Avodah Zarah. Not thinking, this is my God. We talked about that last week, and of course that's usur. I'm talking about, you know, tomorrow I'm going to rob a bank, and I'm going to eat some pork and cheese. Well, pork and cheese doesn't violate basav cholov.
Right.
But I'm going to eat pork. I'm going to wear shatnez. And I'm going to make me an idol. Right? So what do you think? Does he get punished for any of these averas?
The idol.
The idol is yes, the other is no. Correct. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, a machshava is mitzdaref lamaseh. Okay? Because when it comes to something like Avodah Zarah, you know, you don't just worship Avodah Zarah out of the blue, you know? This is also a famous Gemara. You ever hear of this? Everything can be retracted immediately. Except three things. You want to throw a guess at what the three things are? Avodah Zarah. Because no one just on a whim worships Avodah Zarah, right? Getting married and getting divorced, okay? No one just gets married on a whim and no one gets divorced on a whim. You think these things through. Okay, let's see how far we can get in number three. Umavor kan berambam, di yisrael ha'osa Avodah Zarah lazulasa afilu legoi over gamkein belav delokei Elohim asecholo tasu lochem. It says, even if a Jew has a sculpting company and the Gentile says, I want a baby Jesus and I want a blessed mother. Right? Can you make them for me? So the Jew has to say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't make those. Right? Now here, definitely this is a case of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitin Mechshol also. You're putting a stumbling block before the blind. Right. So he says, "Imkein ha'osa biyado la'atzmo." Therefore, if a Jew violates the Torah by making an idol for someone else, then if he makes an idol for himself over b'shnei lavin, he's violating two mitzvahs: mishum lo taselocha pesel, the gam milav de Elohim asechol lo taselochem. Because you're violated even if you're not making it for yourself. Kavachomer, he says two different violations if you do make it for yourself. What's the nafkamina? Because tzorach lahasros bo. This is interesting because the Minchas Chinuch has said this before. The nafkamina is that if you see someone violating the Torah, you must, in order for that person to be punished for the violation, the person watching him do it must warn him precisely about the nature of the Avera. You have to tell him the pasuk that teaches what you're doing is wrong, and you have to tell him what the punishment is. All right? The Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, if you see someone violating Shabbos, you have to tell him which of the 39 melachos are you violating right now. So in this case, we have to know what's the Avera for making an idol for someone else.
Rabbi?
Yes?
If you covet your neighbor's TV set and you don't act on it, is it still coveting?
So this is, I think it's an interesting question. The Ibn Ezra, in his commentary to the Aseret HaDibros, he writes, you know, he's being maybe figurative. He says, a pauper in a kingdom never looks longingly at the princess as she drives through in her carriage, thinking, how wonderful would it be if I could marry her? Or he doesn't covet her. Why not? Unless he's crazy, unless he's in Disney.
Because he knows it's out of his reach.
Because he knows it's out of his reach. He knows, I mean, look, some people, but with the thing, it's called obsessive. What was it called? A stalker, right?
Oh, yeah.
They stalk someone who's totally like, what was the guy who wanted to impress Jodie Foster by killed John Lennon, or he wanted to shoot Ronald Reagan?
Oh, I think it's Ronald Reagan. Right? What was his name?
Hinckley?
Yeah.
He was trying to because I think there was a movie where someone did that for her. I don't know, but that she, that...
Oh, yeah, Taxi Driver.
Oh, okay.
With De Niro.
Okay. So
Johnny Port.
So he was mamisha, you know, that was crazy. But Ibn Ezra says that if you have realistic expectation of possibly getting this thing, and getting it is beyond your scope in a halachic manner, there's nothing wrong with, you know, kina sofer marba Torah. But if I want to drive a certain car, you know, I look at your Porsche and I say, you know, I like that car, I'd like to get one myself. That's not lo tachmud. You can have, if you have a realistic way to get it. Now, a pauper or someone who's living on the street who sees someone drive by in a Porsche and he's, oh, I got to get a car like that. That's not realistic. And if he really intends to try to get a car like that, he may resort to nefarious means. But this, it's worthwhile. It's smachlok is the Rambam and the Ravid on the things I just said. Okay, I don't know where the time flies here, but I really did not get anywhere near what I was hoping here. But suffice it to say that, if I can review, is that Avodah Zarah is treated differently here. It's a special din in Avodah Zarah. It's not a din in Shlichus. It's just a din in the Tzivui. Just being goreim an Avodah Zarah, to be in the world, sorry, you're messing up God's world. You're detracting from God. God is supposed to fill kol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol, your whole heart. You've left an opening for Avodah Zarah to exist? Forget it. Right, that's the Aveira itself, even though in the rest of Torah, like the top of number two at the top, it says, Delav Avodah Zarah Chamor. Yeah, we're going to say this in Avodah Zarah. Okay. All right, everybody, we're still going to be in Dibra number two next week.
Did we say, I wasn't getting the right way, did you say the dedication to the...
Yes, I'm so sorry. I'm so tied up. Yes, we should Be'ezus Hashem, see a refuah shlema for all those who still need a refuah from the Meron tragedy, and all those who are facing unprecedented tragedy for, as you haven't seen in a number of years, of what Israel is facing. We should hopefully have a refuah shlema and a quick resolution to the what Israel is facing now. It should be, all of our learning should be dedicated to that. And all of Masa Tov. Okay, Chevra, we have Shavuos coming up. We're going to have some enhanced learning, also for the sake of Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. Okay, how about if we count the Omer?
Yeah.
Okay, last night was 45.